各位菩萨早安，阿弥陀佛。
Good morning, everybody. 阿弥陀佛。
好，这个新的一年呢，在这边跟大家分享六祖坛经。那为什么会选六祖坛经
？So this is relatively new in the earlier part of the year. This is my first lecture of the year. So and I select.My topic is the Platform Sutra of the Sixth Patriarch. Why do I select this sutra?
哦，不知道。啊。哦，有研究。刚刚我们这个座位下的菩萨有提到哈。因为呢，《六祖坛经》呢是中国禅宗最重要的一部经典，所有的修行人呢，都可以依这部经呢来作为修行的指南。那么师父呢，在《法鼓全集》里面呢，有300多个地方呢，都提到《六祖坛经》。好，还有呢，我们知道，佛陀呢说法。讲经呢在印度，所以我们在到现在我们可以看到的经典都是从印度翻译过来的。那么唯有呢这一部坛经呢不是佛陀讲的，是谁讲的？对，所以呢可见呢六祖所讲的这个开示的语录呢结成经呢是在中国禅宗的地位非常高的。好，所以它可以称为经。
So, the reason we picked this, Platform Sutra is because, this is a very important, guidance and for Chan practice. And, 师父referred to this sutra in 300 places in his, collections. We all know,Buddhism is originated in India. And so most of sutra was translated from the original Indian text, Sanskrit. And only the sutra is the collection of a given talk, given teaching from the sixth patriarch. So it's really originated in China.So, it's a very important, the guidance for, Chinese Chan School.
所以在新的一年跟大家分享中国最重要的一部经典，禅经。
Therefore, in this, new year, 2019, I'm gonna share with everyone of you about this, Platform Sutra.
那么六祖坛经呢是由六祖慧能所说的。那么由他的弟子法海所记录的经典。
So the Platform Sutra, and it was the teaching from the sixth patriarch 慧能, and it's collected by his disciple 法海。
那六祖坛经它有很多的名称哈，通常会讲六祖坛经，或者是简称坛经。那还有呢，另外一个名称呢，就是六祖大师法宝坛经。那还有一个全名的经典的名称呢，就是最下面这个灰色的部分哦，有没有很多字？很多哦，南中顿教最上圣摩诃般若波罗蜜经，六祖慧能大师于绍州大梵师施法坛经。所以呢，六祖坛经呢，它有这么多的名称。
The Platform Sutra of the Sixth Patriarch has many different names. The Platform Sutra of the Sixth Patriarch, and also we call simplified, just called Platform Sutra. And also it's called the Dharma Jewel Platform Sutra of the Sixth Patriarch. And then on the very bottom is this long mouthful of a name, is the Southern Chan School, the most supreme.Mahaprajna Paramita Sutra of the Sixth Patriarch taught at Sao Zhou Da Fan Monastery Dharma Platform Sutra.
好， 所以呢，在讲谈经以前呢，让大家了解一下，谈经有这么多的名称，所以这么多的名称呢，它都代表谈经。
So before I really go into the detail of the Platform Sutra, I want to introduce, and Platform Sutra actually have this many names.
好，那么今年度呢，要跟大家分享六祖坛经的这个授课的大纲呢，主要分四个章节。第一个呢，我们会先为各位菩萨们介绍六祖的生平事迹，还有呢，六祖呢在禅宗是集大成的一个大师，又由他集大成。那我们也要来了解一下，就是从印度呢传到了中国的禅，那禅自己呢从在中国呢自己发展成法脉源流，那有一些分歧在不同的年代，所以在第二个章节呢，我们会让大家了解禅宗法脉的分歧呢分成哪几个期，从它的兴盛一直到衰落有哪一些分歧。那第三个章节呢，就是谈经，我们知道有很多的版本，所以呢，在这个第三个章节，我们让大家了解《坛经》呢，总共有哪几个版本。然后第四个章节呢，就是最重要的，就是《坛经》的整个经文的内容，还有六祖的他的思想的特色是什么，以至于影响到后代的修行的方法。
So, this is the class outline. The first chapter, we're going to talk about is, Master Hui Neng's biography. The second, we're going to talk about the Chan lineage. Buddhism came from India and to China, and so it derived into a lot of lineage. And so we're going to talk about that. And then the third chapter, we're going to talk about different version of Platform Sutra. And the fourth, we're going to talk about the content and the special characteristic of the Platform Sutra, because this is a very important sutra. And we're going to talk about Master Hui Neng's philosophy and the impact into Chan practice.
首先呢，我们来看一下六祖慧能的生平事迹。
So, first of all, we're going to look at Master Hui Neng's biography.
So, we will do a year chart to let you understand Hui Neng, from his life, from his birth to his life, what are some important achievements.
So, this chronology of the six patriarchs, and going to briefly introduce Master Hui Neng from the birth to death, and what are the important events in his life.
好，我们是重点的讲哈。一岁的时候就是他出生的时候，他出生的时候呢很特别哦，就是有两个僧人呢去他们家敲门，然后他的父亲呢开门之后就看到两个出家众，然后这两个出家众呢为什么会来敲门哦，就是呢为了帮慧能大师取名字哦，所以他爸爸就开了门，就觉得诶怎么那么奇特，有两个出家人来为我刚出生的这个儿子呢取名字哦。那取什么名字呢，就是慧能哦。那慧是什么意思，慧济众生，能呢就是能做佛事。讲完了之后，这两个出家人呢走了呢就不见踪迹了哦。所以呢他的父亲呢就把这个他的儿子呢取名为慧能。
So, we're gonna briefly talk about it, and then start from his birth. And so right before he was born, there was two monks and knocking on the door. His father opened the door and see this two monastic person. And those two monastic and telling him, the reason I'm here is I can foresee your son is going to be born tonight, so I want to give him this name called Hui Neng. What is Hui? Hui means a favor, kindness, benefit that to, that, And so hui, it literally means to use dharma to benefit sentient being. Nen means a person is capable of. So nen means is capable of using dharma to teach, to transform sentient beings. So, and his father, and therefore, and given a name to his newborn baby, called Hui Nen. And afterwards, and these two monks just disappear, cannot be found.
所以慧能呢，出生在唐太宗的这个年代，那以西元的年法呢，就是在638年出生的。
慧能 was born in Tang Dynasty, so and it's equivalent to year 638.
那三岁的时候，他的父亲就往生了，所以呢，只剩下妈妈呢，就他的母亲呢，独自抚养他。
So at his age of three, his father passed away, and only Hui Nen and his mother were left in poverty, and his mom tried her best and to raise Hui Nen.
所以呢，可见呢，就是慧能生长的这个环境也是很辛苦，因为独自是由妈妈抚养。
So therefore, we can see, the growing up environment for Hui Nen actually is very tough.
那么24岁的时候呢，是他人生的一个非常重要的转折点哦。那么呢，因为呢他是砍柴的，我们都知道哦。那有一天有客人呢叫柴，所以呢他就送柴去。那送柴去的时候呢，经过一个客栈，就听到一个客人送什么经？对，大家都知道《金刚经》哈。那么他听的这个《金刚经》里面的这个经文里面呢，觉得呢当下呢就有一些悟吼，于是呢他就问这个客栈的客人，你送的这个经呢是从哪里得来的吼？然后那个客人就跟他说，送经的这个人就跟他说，我是从这个黄眉五祖这边得到这部金刚经。好，于是呢他就安顿好他的母亲之后呢，就呢前往这个黄眉呢去找五祖。
So, at his age 24, and that was the pivotal point of his life. And he, cutting the firewood to, as a living. So, one day he delivered firewood to one of a customer's shop, and he, heard somebody was reciting the Diamond Sutra. And when he heard that, and, he actually, his mind actually opened up and he understood. So, and then Hui Nen was asking his customer, what are you reciting? And what sutra is that? So the customer told him it's a Diamond Sutra. And I got this Diamond Sutra from Hubei, Huangmei, where it was the fifth patriarch, the place of a fifth patriarch. So, and upon hearing that, so he settled down his mother, and then so he went up to Hubei and to pay respect to the fifth patriarch, Hong Ren.
然后他遇到了这个五祖弘忍之后呢，弘忍大师呢知道他是一个大气，就是一个根气很利的人呢。好，那这个后面我们会提到就是如何传法。好，那我们这边呢简单的讲一下。
So, upon, Master Hong Ren, the fifth patriarch, meeting him, and then he realized, Hui Nen has, auspicious, karmic roots. And so, and then later on, he transmit his, dharma to, Master Hui Nen. So we're gonna talk about more in detail later.
那这边记载呢，他在唐高宗的时代，大概慧能30岁的时候呢出家。好，那他33岁的时候呢，跟这个游远禅师呢学做禅。好，但是我们知道慧能大师他不认识字嘛，好，但是他会听这个诵经的经文。好，那有一次他听到的这个慧济禅师在诵这个头陀经的时候呢，他当下呢又有一点悟。好，他悟到了什么？好，因为经文里面的意思讲解到，好，修行呢不是只是空坐在那边，所以呢他 他33岁的时候听到了这个头陀经里面呢，他就恍然大悟，就是说哎，我今空坐为何，就是说修行呢不是只有打坐坐在那边就可以见佛性。
So at his age 30 and he shaved his head and to become a monk at age 33, and he went to visit Chan Master Yu Yuan, and he learned how to do a sitting meditation from him. And one day, because he was illiterate, so he cannot read the sutra text, but he can hear. And so one day he was listening Master Hui Ji recite Totuo Sutra. And while Master Hui Nen listened to this sutra, he has a small awakening experience. In the sutra it said, and practice is not only merely by sitting. So you cannot just by sitting and to see your nature. So and therefore, and Master Hui Nen was asking himself, and why am I wasting time and sitting here? And so, and on top of that, sitting is not just merely to see the nature is not merely by sitting.
那38岁的时候，他就是往南呢，往这个潮汐的方向呢，继续的进行他修行的路哈。那么我们知道他在猎人堆中就是过了一阵子的生活哈。那有很多的传记里面有提到，有的是说十几年哦，15年、16年哈。但是在印顺导师的这个著作里面呢，他觉得5年最合理哈，就是。在猎人堆中5年之后呢，他呢39岁的这一年呢，又是他人生的转折点哈。什么转折点哈？他呢就知道说呢，在这个广州呢有一位印中法师呢在讲《涅槃经》，他就很想去听哈。于是呢，他就好不容易到了这个印中法师的这个道场哈。那在进去要听经以前呢，就在这个寺院外面呢，看到有两个僧人哦，在争论了哈、哦。一个就是说，哎，这个呢是风动，然后另一个僧人就是说，哎，这是反动。我们知道那个寺院里面不是都会有玄幡吗？哈，大家有看过幡吗？就是长长的一条布哈、哦。然后一个僧人就说，哎，这个是因为风。然后另一个僧人就说这是反动，然后慧能一听他们争论呢，上下呢不就是没办法一直得到答案，慧能就往上哈、哦、往前哈、哦，就跟他说不是风动也不是反动哈、哦，是你们的心在动。然后呢，这两个人一听到，哇，高人出现哈、哦，就说哎，这个人的见地很好，于是呢，他们就马上呢引荐他们的师父让他认识。所以呢39岁这一年呢，他跟印中法师呢见面齁、哦。那印中法师呢帮他剃度落发齁、哦。这是39岁他很重要的一个人生的一个修行的转捩点。
At his age 38, so, he traveled back to South and passed by 潮汐。And at that time, and so people from the north still chase after him. And then he was hiding among the hunters. So, and some people were saying, and maybe 15 years or 16 years. But for Master Yin Shun, and the most reasonable time is about 5 years. So at his age 39, and that's another pivotal point of his life. And he traveled down to Guangzhou, Zhi Monastery, and he went to listen to the famous master at the time called Yin Zhong Master. So he was talking about Nirvana Sutra. So and before entering the lecture hall, and he saw there's two monks and engaging in argument. So and in the monastery, and they have a lot of flags. So at that time, in these two monks and argue about. And because the wind and blow the flag, and the flag it was waving is moving. So one monk said, is because the wind is moving to make the flag wave. And the other monk said, it's because the flag and wave itself. And so, and they engage in this argument and cannot find a resolution. So therefore, Hui Nen and then see that, he said, oh, please. And it's not the wind moving the flag. It's not the flag moving. And they are it because your mind is moving. So upon hearing that, this two monk, it was really surprised, and this is really profound. So, and they took him to see his master, Inzo master. So, and then Inzo master and saw Hui Nen and actually, formally, shave his head, and he is formally become a monk.
那隔年的春天呢，这个六祖慧能呢就跟印宗法师告别哈、哦，他呢就到了这个宝林寺去继续弘法。宝林寺呢就是现在的南华寺，好、哦，那六祖的真身舍利呢也是在这个地方。
So the next spring, and Master 慧能 left from.Master Yin Zhong, he traveled to Baolin Monastery. Baolin Monastery, and that was the formal name, and the current name is called Nanhua Monastery. So this is where Master Hui Nen's body relic reside today.
好，那当时呢，要走之前呢，有非常多人，有千余人呢，帮六祖送行。
While he was leaving, Master Yin Zhong and traveled down to Baolin or Nanhua Monastery, there were thousands and thousands of people and sent him off.
那到了这个六祖六十八岁的时候呢，我们知道哈，就是有皇帝呢，啊，唐中宗呢要迎这个六祖呢进京城呢去说法，但是呢六祖呢就是呢婉拒的哈，就是说他身体不好就婉拒的哈。
So at his age 68, and at that time the emperor and want him to go to the emperor palace and to be imperial advisor and to expound the Dharma for the emperor. So and Master Hui Nen, it was using excuse and of his health condition, and he declined the offer.
好，那70岁的时候呢，就是被皇帝呢赐紫磨袈裟，还有呢很。多的布，好，通常在古时候呢，可以刺这些东西，就表示是什么？修行很有德恨，所以呢，才会刺这个紫磨袈裟。
So at his age 70, and the emperor and gave him a purple robe and about 500 rolls of silk. And normally, and for emperor to give someone.A purple robe and a lot of silk, and because this person's practice is very good.
好，那七十五岁呢，就回到他自己的出生的地方新州，好，然后重修国恩寺。好，那同时呢，七十六岁隔年呢，这个六祖大师呢就圆寂，好，所以他在国恩寺圆寂。那圆寂之后，有非常多的皇帝呢，一直帮他。赐这个法号、哦、一直为他加冕这些法号。那这些谥号呢，就是因为你在生以前呢修行呢很有德恨，对于国家有一些贡献，对人民有贡献，所以呢皇帝都会为他赐一些另外的别号。
At the age 75, he returned to Xinzhou, his birthplace.And he repaired Guoen Monastery, and on the end, he passed away in the Guoen Monastery at age 76. So after he passed away, an emperor gave him many, many, many names. It all based on because of practice.
好，所以大建禅师呢，大家比较常听的就是慧能大师，另一个别号是大建禅师。
So, the very common name, and we heard people call Master Hui Nen, 大建 Master.
好，那么 我们纵观这个慧能一生的求法隐遁传法去过哪一些地方。
So, throughout his life, and he's seeking for Dharma, hiding, and spreading Dharma, where are the places that he was traveled to?
好，我们用地图来让大家了解哦。总共大家这样子从荧幕上看有几个地方？四个重要的地方哈。第一个呢，就是呢，他在黄梅拜师嘛，哈，拜哪一位？对，五祖弘忍哈，在东禅寺拜师。然后第二个地方呢，就是很重要，他初转法轮的地方呢，就是宝林寺，也就是现在的南华寺。第三个地方呢，就是印中法师帮他落法剃度受戒的这个地方呢，法性寺。第四个地方呢，就是六祖慧能呢圆寂的地方国恩寺。所以这个地方几乎大部分都在广东这个地方。
So we just use a map. It's easier to show. There are four places, and the first was The first is Dongchan Monastery in Hubei, Huangmei, and that's where the place. And he pay a respect to the fifth patriarch Hongren and seeking for further teaching. And then a second is Baoling, which is Nanhua Monastery. This is the place where he turned the Dharma wheel and began his teaching career. And the third one is Fa Xing Monastery. And that is the place and he shaved his head and took ordained and become monastic. The fourth one is Guo En Monastery. It's the place where he passed away.
六祖慧能的生平简述呢，到这哈。接着我们要进行，要来看这个中国禅宗的法脉分歧。
So, for Master Hui Neng's biology, we just briefly introduced. Now we're gonna see the Qian lineage.
这个分歧呢，是由一位日本的朝洞中的僧侣呢，呼华古快天这位僧侣呢，他所分出来呢，中国的禅宗呢，大致上分为六个时期。
So this is actually from a Japanese monk, a Chaodong monk, and called Hu Hua Gu Kuai Tian, and he roughly divide the Qian lineage into six period.
他是朝洞中的这个禅者。
He is a practicing Chaodong.
好，首先呢，他帮整个中国的这个禅宗法脉呢分歧。第一个呢是准备跟习禅的时代，大概在西元146到519，从东汉到梁武帝的这个时期呢，就是准备跟习禅的时代。
So the first period is called pre-Chan period, and it's from year 146 to year 519, and in China, is Eastern Han Dynasty and to Emperor Liang Dynasty.
那第二个呢时期呢是纯禅，就是从达摩到六祖慧能的这个时期呢是纯禅。
So the second period is called Pure Chan period. It's from year 520 to year 713. It's from Bodhidharma to Master 慧能。
那第三个禅机的时代呢，就是慧能圆寂以后一直到五代末年。
The third is a pivotal Chan period. It's from year 713 to year 960. It's from after Master 慧能 passed away and to the end of a Five Dynasty.
第四个时期是烂熟的时代，有分前期后期。那前期就从北宋到北宋南迁的这一段时期，称为烂熟时代的前期。
So the fourth is the early maturation period. It's from year 960 to year 1120. It's from the Northern Song Dynasty and after, and also the time after they moved or migrated to the south.
淡守的时代的后期呢，就是南宋以后，一直到元朝以前。
So the late maturation period is from year 1127 to 1277 is the Southern Song period.
那么禅宗的这个衰弱时期呢，就是从元朝以后到清朝。
So the period of decline is from 1206 to 1656, and that is from Yuan Dynasty to Qing Dynasty.
然后一直到呢，这个明朝的时候呢，这个就是民国的时候，有太虚大师在复兴这个禅宗。
So, after Qing Dynasty, it then come to the Republic, and Master Tai Xu revived the Chan School.
我们来看一下纯禅的时代，大家从这个表格可以看到，就是从达摩到六祖慧能的这段时间呢，大概不到200年的时间呢，是中国禅宗呢属于纯禅的时代。
So, and look at this diagram, and from the very top rectangle box, and that means from Bodhidharma to a sixth patriarch, and it's about 190 years, and that is the pure Chan period.
那这个纯禅的时代呢，它修行呢有什么样子的特色特点？
So, the practice style in this pure Chan period are the following.
好，首先呢，它不废弃呢这个经典的教义。但是呢，它也不会死于这个文字，经典上的一些拘泥的文句上，它很活泼的活用这个佛法的精神，它同时也沿用佛教的一般的术语用法，但是呢，它还是以掌握整个大乘佛法为主要的着力点，但是在纯禅的时代呢，当时的禅师他们并没有想要自己创立一宗一派。所以当时纯禅呢，大家只是就是在修行上用功，但没有要创立什么宗派。
So, first, they are not abandoned the teaching of the sutras, and they also do not get stuck in the formality of the sutras, but they capture the Buddha's spirit lively. And the second, and they use a common Buddhism language,to make Buddha Dharma a priority. And they don't have any intention to establish any lineage or any school. And they just merely practice and diligently.
好，同时呢，在纯禅的时代呢，这些修行人们呢，都有化世，济世化众的这个悲心。同时也掌握整个佛教的精神，就是菩提心，所以他们同时具有菩提心跟慈悲心。同时在这个纯禅的时代呢，禅师们是鼓励大家坐禅上用功。
So they have the compassion to deliver and transform sentient beings, and they abide in the Mahayana spirit. They encompass the compassion and body mind.And also they encourage sitting meditation practice.
好，那么刚刚前面是初祖到六祖，那么从六祖圆寂以后呢，这段时期呢叫禅机的时代。那这个禅机的时代里面呢，他们用的禅法呢，就是直指人心的，没有次第的，不落次第的禅法。然后从这个六祖慧能以后呢，我们大家常听的就是在中国禅宗史上呢，都会有说一花开五叶，对不对？好，那大家知道是一花开五叶是哪五叶？ 不是，是禅宗的这个
灵气潮动。
好，从大家看一下右下角这边哈，潮动、云门、法眼、维养、灵气，好，总共有几个？对，就是这个五宗。那为什么会有五加七宗哈？后来这个灵气宗呢，它又呢扩散出阳齐方会，就是阳齐派跟黄龙会南的这个黄龙派，所以呢又分出了两宗，所以呢就是一般我们称的五加七宗呢，就是这七个。好。
So, and after Huinan passed away, and to the end of Five Dynasty, so this is called the pivotal Chen period. So in the big circle, and we can see roughly. And so, and at that time, they emphasize on direct point to the mind. Do not worry about the stages. And then also from Master Huinan, it derived into five school and seven branches of a Chen lineage. The five school is Ling Ji, Cao Dong, Yun Men, Fa Yan, Kui Yang. This is the five Chen school. And seven branches is Ling Qi actually derived into another two branches called Yang Qi and Huang Long. So this is what we commonly hear. And in Chen school, there's a five school and seven branches.
所以从六祖慧能以前呢，大部分呢禅宗传的都是大根器的，就是只传一个。但是从六祖慧能以后呢，一花开五叶，所以让整个禅宗呢，这个人才济济哈，所以这个时代呢，禅机的时代呢，就是高僧云集的时代。
So before Master Huinan and whoever can practice Chan, and they have a great karmic disposition and to practice Chan. But after Master Huinan, almost everybody, anybody can practice Chan. Therefore, and derive into five Chan school and seven branches. And at that time, the teaching is really emphasized on the opportunity of Chan and rose and exhort yourself to practice. And therefore, a lot of eminent monks and came to practice.
所以这个时代的这个修行方法呢，就是重禅机。还有棒喝并用，所以呢，高声云集。
At that time, and the style of teaching is very emphasized on the opportunity of a Chan and that pivotal moment of the Chan. And then also in some style like Ling Ji, and they use stick at hitting a practitioner and shouting at practitioner, it really to push practitioner to practice and diligently. And therefore, and a lot of eminent monk and practitioner and came to practice together.
好，刚刚这边这一段内容已经有提到了齁。好，那我们刚讲的都是中国禅宗的这个法脉分歧齁。那我们让大家来了解一下，从印度的禅呢传到了中国的禅呢，它的修行方法呢有哪一些演变。
So we just talk about Chinese Chan, and so now we're going to see Buddha Dharma Chan and came from India and to China, and what kind of transform in process it went through.
好，我们用表格让大家比较容易了解哈。印度禅呢，它修行方法呢，就是要修次第禅观，然后可以达到四禅八定。然后这个四禅八定呢，是外道也可以达到四禅八定。所以那佛教跟一般的这个入定呢有哪一些不一样哈？就是佛教可以达到第九次第定，就是灭尽定。所以呢四禅八定呢都是通外道，那唯有呢这个灭尽定呢是佛教独有的。好，这是印度禅的修行的方法。那么印度的禅呢传到了中国呢，它分成呢有天台宗的这个止观，还有禅宗的这个顿悟的这个方法，自己禅宗 发展出顿悟的这个方法。所以呢，印度的这个禅呢传到中国呢，其实分成两派，一个是天台，然后一个是禅宗。好，先讲到这里。
So we use this diagram to simplify. From the very left in Chan from India, and they use a gradual method of Chan, and also four dhyana in a samadhi. And four dhyana in a samadhi, outer path and or we call different religion, they can reach to that level.But only practice Buddhism, Chan, and can reach the ninth level. And after the Indian Chan and came to Chinese Chan. Chinese Chan and actually, and there's a two different one. It's Tian Tai's of Vipassana and then the Chan school in Southern Enlightenment and some are called Supertism.
所以呢，中国禅呢演变成两个哈宗派哈，一个是天台的止观，然后还有禅宗的这个顿悟。所以禅宗的修行方法呢，就是用顿悟，然后呢成就也是顿悟。好，这是在中国的这个禅的这个时代哈。那我们知道哈，慢慢的禅呢演变到现在哈，现代的禅哈，我们以中华禅法古宗来举例哈，就等于现代的人。现代人的人根气，你们觉得好还是以前的人根气比较好？以前的人根善根比较深厚哈，所以呢，为什么会到现在呢？师父开发出这个次第的，所以我们只要打过这个法鼓山的禅期的哈，就知道我们有分初阶、中阶、高阶哈，就是让你呢慢慢的呢由。初阶呢到中阶高阶这样子的来修行齁，不是一下子就跑高阶齁。所以呢我们以师父的这个中华禅来举例啊，现代的人呢，师父有提到现代的人呢很难顿悟齁，所以呢要怎么修都是渐修，但是开悟呢一定是以顿悟的方式来圆满齁，所以呢一定是渐修。然后开悟呢一定都是顿悟。好，那师父有提到就是那渐修怎么渐修齁，有调心的四个层次齁。第一个呢就是散乱心齁。第二个呢集中心。第三个统一心，那统一心又有分你自己先跟你的身心统一之后你再跟环境统一。然后一直到无心，这个调心的层次呢就是这样子的次第性的调齁，那怎么样散乱心拉回集中？没有声音，要用一个方法，对，如果你是熟悉就熟悉齁，那你看你用什么方式，比如说你是用，哦，有对，有的人用念佛，好，念佛呢，它不是禅修的方法，就是一个辅助的方法。所以你可以用佛号呢把你的心收摄之后呢你再回到禅修的方法，比如说熟悉，比如说化头默照这些方法，让你的心呢集中一直到统一，然后乃至开悟，就是无心的这个层次。
So therefore from a Chinese Chan and is a Southern Enlightenment method. So and then now we are come to the contemporaryBecause the people in the contemporary, in the current time, the karmic disposition is really low and shallow. So, and therefore, in the Dharmajong lineage of the Chan Buddhism, and Shifu and start with a gradual practice in sudden enlightenment. So therefore, we have beginner meditation and intermediate and is a little more advanced meditation and various retreats accordingly.And so, because, the people in the current time, it's very hard to, have a sudden enlightenment. So we need to practice gradually and to build out the practice. And, on the end, and the enlightenment, it will occur suddenly. And also, Shifu and, teach us, the four stages to regulate the mind. It starts from a scattered mind, and then it goes to concentrated mind, and to unified mind. And unified mind is unify your body and mind, unify the internal and external environment. And from this, and then on the end to the no mind. So on the scattered mind, and what method and do we use and to collect the scattered mind and to become more concentrated mind. And so we have a lot of method. And for example, reciting the Buddha's name, and that is the one of the assisting method and to calm your mind. And but the proper method is counting the breath, and or asking hua tou, or use a silent illumination, and gradually and collect the scattered mind and become more concentrated mind, and then it become unified mind and it become no mind.
以上呢是印度禅一直到现代禅的这个修行方法的演变哈。
So about when we talk about and the practice transformation process from Indian Chan and to the Dharma Zhuang lineage of Chan practice.
好，接着呢，我们要让大家了解一下呢，《坛经》呢，从唐朝一直到现在呢，它的版本流变呢，总共有哪一些版本？
So next we're going to talk about a different version of a platform sutra and starting from the Tang dynasty on up until now.
Guifusan, 你们看一下这个表格齁。你们有没有发现到哪一些版本的差异点比较明显的一个版本的差异点有没有发现住宿啊好聪明字数没错齁、哦。你看哦我们从这个最左边的第一个齁、哦、坛经的主本现在已经不在了齁、哦。然后一直到有敦煌本齁、哦、慧心本契松本德义本还有最受大家欢迎的中宝本齁、哦。它这样子版本的流变呢从字数呢可以看出来是不是越来越多为什么越来越多莫然故好因为呢就像在座的你们来听比如说 A 有 A 的笔记记事然后 B 有 B 的这个记录可能每个人的重点不一样齁。所以每一个版本呢都是由某一位法师呢他所重新呢在编改编齁。所以呢在过程当中呢可能这个法师会觉得这个重点呢某一品呢要多一点齁这个重点呢就要加多一点齁。所以他版本的流变呢会让这个字数变得比较多。那比较多的这个原因就是他觉得这个是重点。还有呢方便让后面的人阅读更清楚所以就他把它变得呢就字数变多了。
So from this chart, it's not been translated, but I'll explain to you. And from the very left one is the original edition. And then in the middle and the next is 敦煌 edition, 慧心 edition, 契松 edition.德义 edition and 宗宝 edition. The very last one actually is the most popular one. And so, and the, from the original in which it was, his disciple, Hui Neng's disciple and collect into, that edition. And then actually, there's a blank in, on the very last row is the number of the words in that sutra. And, actually it's a blank.So, because it's lost, we have no way to find out. But through a gradual, through the time, and then each edition has more wording and more wording and more wording and add to it. And because maybe it was the master and was compiling in this sutra, and so he think it's very important, so he had more, he adds more wording into it and easy for people to read and easy for people to understand.
好，所以呢，我们再把它弄成这个表格的方式，让大家看得更清楚哈。所以坛经的主本呢，在唐朝的那个时候呢，就是由法海呢六祖的弟子法海记录了，这一个主本已经不存在了哈。好，那还有呢，在700多年这个敦煌原本也不存在。还有呢，从竹本分出来的这个彗星的原本它也不存在哈，但是从敦煌原本分出来的这个9世纪到10世纪的这个敦煌本呢，还有敦帛本，还有西夏文本呢，这三个版本呢还存在。那从彗星原本分出来的这个彗星本呢，跟气松本呢都还在，那这两个版本又再分出去哈。好，那么气松本呢又分出了这个潮汐原本、德义本还有中宝本，所以呢就是从唐朝到宋朝之间呢，它的版本呢就是在唐宋年间，好，这个版本就是在唐宋年间。
So from this chart, again, the very left one is the original version of the Platform Sutra, and that was ascribed by his disciple Fa Hai, but it no longer exists. So that version is divided into a Dunhuang version and then Hui Xing version. Those two also no longer exist. But for Dunhuang version, actually derived into three different kind of version. It's called Dunhuang version and Dunbo version and Xixia version, and those still exist. And so for Hui Xing, actually Hui Xing is derived into Hui Xing version and then Qi Song version. And Hui Xing also derived into two, and Qi Song derived into three. And those are came from between Tang and Song dynasty. Those still exist.
这么多版本呢，好，我们来看看哦，就是最代表性的呢，有哪一些版本。
So among all these versions, and we're gonna see what are the most popular versions.
好，总共有几种？四种。好，荧幕上有四种哈，这最代表性的版本哈，表示呢最受欢迎哈。有敦煌、彗星、气松、中宝这四个版本呢，是六祖坛经的最代表性的版本。
So these four we can see 敦煌、彗星、气松 and 中宝 these versions are the most popular versions of the Platform Sutra.
那么收录在这个大正藏经里面的哈。48册里面的呢，有哪两个版本？敦煌本跟中宝本，所以收录在大正藏只有这两个版本，可见这两个版本呢，又是刚刚前面四个版本里面的最最重要的两个。
So, from this diagram, we can see Dunhuang version and Zhongbao version. It was collected in the Tripitaka, which is Chinese Buddhist canon, or the sutras Vinaya of Abhidhamma. So therefore, we can see Dunhuang version and Zhongbao version are the two most important versions.
我们看看这两个版本它有什么优点。第一个呢，敦煌本的优点呢，就是现存版本里面呢，最接近坛经原本的，所以一般的学者呢都会用敦煌本来研究坛经。然后第二个中宝本，它的优点呢就是比较受于后代的流通的版本哦。为什么它这么受欢迎？就是主要它把它分成10个品目，就是10个章节呢，让大家阅读起来非常的方便。而且每一个章节呢，它都是告诉大家这是哪一品，所以从这个品目你就很容易知道这里面的经文要叙述什么。
So, what are the advantage of these two versions? So, the advantage of a Dunhuang version, and is the, or the one is, exists today and the oldest and the most close to the original version. Therefore, if a scholar want to do more further research, they usually use the Dongfang version. And Zongbao version, the advantage is Zongbao version is divided into chapters, about 10 chapters. So it's very easy to read and therefore it's very popular.
那我们就以中宝本的这个六祖坛经的品目呢来让大家了解。
So, therefore, we're going to use the 中宝 version and, with all the chapters and to, introduce.
好，它分成十个品目。第一个是什么？行有品第一齁。那行有品第一呢里面主要在讲什么？就六祖呢开元说法，就是说诶为什么因缘呢讲了这个六祖坛经，然后呢这个自己呢叙述他自己呢的身世，那如何呢求道学法，还有呢在这个行有品里面呢有很多一些问答，还有呢大家最熟悉的就是不是这个神秀跟慧能各成一计，对不对？然后各成一计之后呢，五祖看了就知道，哦，这个神秀呢还没有见性，但呢六祖呢成了这个计子呢，五祖一看呢他就是见性的哦，所以呢五祖弘忍呢就传法给这个六祖慧能。好，那传法之后呢，六祖就往南了。往南开始呢传法，树立这个禅宗的这个宗风。
So, chapter one is a personal history chapter. And, it's really, contained the well-known story of, the contest and for the succession of Hongren. And also, talk about, this course and condition, how this is, sutra come about. And he briefly, introduced his own biology, how he seeking Dharma, how he learned Dharma, and also a lot of question and answering. And the well-known story of the contest of succession from Master Hongren, which is the fifth patriarch. And fifth patriarch, fifth patriarch requests of verses in the Huangmei Monastery. Master Shen Xiu, and at that time it was a very well-known practitioner. He wrote the verses, and then Master Hui Nen saw the verses, and still a little bit something missing. And of course, Master Hongren, which the fifth patriarch, he seen these two verses. He clearly understood which the practitioner actually seen the nature. So, and definitely is Master Hui Nen. So he passed down the Dharma lineage into Master Hui Nen. Hui Nen becomes sixth patriarch. And so after sixth patriarch and got the Dharma transmission, he went down to the south and to spread the Dharma. And this is all talk about it in the first chapter.
好，这个句子呢，大家都知道吗？需要再讲一遍吗？神秀做了什么偈子？身是菩提树，然后呢，心如什么明镜台，然后时时勤拂拭，勿使惹尘埃。哦，所以一看就知道什么没开悟哈。然后我们来看那慧能呢，他做了什么偈子？菩提本无树，然后呢，明镜亦非台，然后呢。本来无一物，何处惹尘埃？哦，这样的句子一看是不是就是一个是见性，一个是没有见性的
？So the verses are made by Master Shen Xiu. Is the body is Bodhi tree, the mind is clear like a clear mirror, and constantly and wipe off the dust, and then don't let them collect the dust, and from Master Hui Nen is his verses is Bodhi. There's no such a thing a Bodhi tree. Wait, And there's no such thing as a Bodhi tree, and there's no such thing as a clear mirror. And so therefore, and there's no place to collect the dust. So, and obviously, and we can see in which verses and for the person and actually seeing the nature.
好，那么第二品呢是般若品，好，那这一品主要是在讲般若的这个法义，好，解释什么叫般若蜜，好，那怎么样行般若行，好，我们今年的这个师父圆寂的十周年呢，大家都有收到一个五相颂吗？五相颂的这个师父的法宝，好，那这个法宝里面的内容呢，就是出自于这个般若品的五相颂里面。好，有来参加的这个传灯法会的呢，禅修的呢，都可以收到这个师父的法宝哈。所以所有的法里面呢，就是以法宝呢最为殊胜哈。这是般若品第二。
So the second chapter is Prajna. It contains a lecture on Prajna, given after recitation of the Mahaprajna Paramita Sutra. And so and how to practice Prajna Paramita. And in the new year, and in the ceremony of passing the lantern, we gave participants formless sutra, and that is the Dharma jewel and came from this second chapter in Prajna.
第三这个疑问品呢，就是赤石哦，在请问，为赤石请问了六祖大师，请六祖解释疑问，他心中的疑问，他心中有什么疑问？对于这个功德的疑问，就是维次时有问六祖，就是说这个菩提达摩呢出来到的这个汉地呢遇到了梁武帝，好，然后梁武帝不是都造寺嘛，斋僧嘛，然后做种种的布施，然后他就问这个菩提达摩到底有没有功德，结果菩提达摩回这个梁武帝说没有功德，好，所以这个疑问第三呢，就是再一次再请问六祖大师呢，到底有没有功德？然后这一段里面的第三个章节，六祖慧能大师举很多的例子，在讲什么是功，什么是德，好，还有讲到就是说净土，就是说东方人呢，如果造罪呢，想要求生西方，那西方人造罪要求生哪里？就是这样子问六祖，那六祖就回答，就是说西方呢不在呢就是十万亿佛土之外，而西方呢这个净土呢就是你自己的自心里面，就是你只要看到你自己的自性佛性呢，这个净土呢就在当下。
So the third chapter is a question chapter. So Master Huinen answered a question in front this Wei, Mr. Wei official, and this the lay audience. He was asking a main thing about virtue and merit. And back then, Emperor Liang was asking Bodhidharma, and Emperor Liang is a very kind person. He did a lot of he did build a lot of virtue and merit and to help others and then to build monastery. And so, and Emperor Liang was asking Bodhidharma, oh, I did so many good things, and do I have a virtue? Do I build up virtue and merit? And so at that time, Bodhidharma said, no, you did not build up any virtue and merit. So, and that was a question. And then also, this official was asking Master Huinen again, and does he has a virtue and merit? So, and therefore, Master Huinen gave a lot of example to explain what is virtue, what is merit. And also he has a question about, because we all about Western Pure Land. So, and normally we call Western Pure Land. And so for people in the East and they die, they pass away, they want to go to Western Pure Land. And what about the people in the West? And do they go to Western Pure Land too? So, and Master Hui Nan say, and the Western Pure Land does not reside in 10,000 or 100,000 outside of that Buddha land. And that Buddha land actually is inside you. And so that is the Pure Land within you.
第四品呢，定慧品呢，里面就是在讲定慧体用，还有定慧一体的这个观念哈。那在师父的禅期里面呢，也常常会用定慧品呢来为禅众们说法哈。那这个定慧一体呢，是从六祖开始才有的哈，所以六祖以前呢，没有人讲定慧一体，都是讲定慧有次第先后。
So the fourth chapter, Dhyana and Wisdom, and which is meditation and wisdom are said to be the same essence in oneness. And a lot of time in the meditation retreat, and Shifu, a lot of time it will talk about this particular chapter. And so, and this meditation and wisdom and it to be the same essence, and it was not being talked of before Master Hui Nan. And they all talk about this gradual and practice and reach in this one and to reach the other one.
这一品里面呢讲到非常重要的三个要点呢，就是这里面有解释呢，无住为本，无相为体，无念为宗。这三个重要的概念呢，我们在后面呢下一堂课呢会提到这三个重要的这个修行的这个观念。
So, in this chapter, and there's three very important concepts, and no abiding, and no thought, and no form.
好，第五个呢，坐禅品，好，主要在讲解释呢，就是六祖慧能在解释什么叫坐禅，好，就是不是一般大家认为就是坐在那边就叫坐禅，好。所以呢，在这一品里面呢，六祖慧能解释很多什么叫坐，什么叫禅。所以呢，慧能大师呢解释坐禅的这个要义呢，就是不着心、不着境的，这个叫坐禅。
So the fifth chapter is a seated meditation and details the pureness of our fundamental nature.And Master Hui Nan spent a lot of time to explain what is a sitting and what is a meditation. This is not what we usually envision sitting meditation. So he particularly explained and what is sit and what is meditation. It's not abiding the mind. It's not abiding the environment.
第六品呢讲到了忏悔品，就是六祖大师呢传授弟子们的无相忏悔。然后要他们发誓弘誓愿，好，然后同时也解释什么叫誓弘誓愿，跟我们一般呢讲的这个不一样，好，所以六祖慧能解释的誓弘誓愿不一样。同时这一品呢很重要，在讲说呢要皈依自性的三宝，就是我们自性呢自心里面呢具足了三宝，好，那为什么现在的人要先皈依外在的三宝？我们不是都常常看到传授三规五戒，有没有？我们一定要先透过一个外向的这个三宝，然后呢去开启呢我们自性的三宝。这个是圣严师父在书里面告诉我们的，一般就是现代的众生根器的关系，必须要先透过外向的三宝，然后呢才能开启自性的三宝。所以这个是在当时呢六祖慧能的时代呢，他呢告诉呢这些弟子们呢如何开启他自性的三宝，所以这一品里面就是在讲传授无相忏悔，还有如何呢开启自己的自性三宝，皈依自性的三宝。
The chapter 6 repentance describe a repentance ritualAnd also in here, he talk about formless repentance. And also talk about the four great vow. This four great vow is different from the normal four great vow we know we recite. And it actually, and this four great vow is the four great vow of self nature. And also, we take refuge of the three jewel of self nature. So, and again, our current people, our people in the current time, and we have a low karmic disposition and dull karmic root. So, and we need outside the form. We need to take refuge to the three jewel, which is the form, external, and actually that was a three jewel for us to take refuge from. Then, and it will open up and to the three jewel of self nature.
所以呢，在这一品里面呢，六祖慧能呢，他有提到哈，我们知道释容誓愿第一句是什么？众生无边誓愿度。好，然后什么叫做度？慧能大师有提到，真正的度呢，是你自信自度才叫度。所以你没有看到你的自信都不叫度。所以这是，你看这是这个纯禅时代的这个禅法。
So, in this chapter, talk about the four great vow. And the first verses of the four great vow is, I vow to deliver innumerable sentient beings. What is a deliver? Deliver is actually to deliver of the self nature.
好，接着我们看机缘品第七，好，第七品，好，这一品呢，主要的就是很多出家众比丘尼呢前往黄梅齁，就是去向这个六祖慧能大师请法齁。那这个请法的过程呢，每一个法师呢问的问题都不一样齁。所以呢，这个六祖慧能呢就应机应缘呢，为这些法师们解答他们心中的疑惑，还有如何修行。
The seventh chapter is called Key Events.And there's a lot of bhikkhu and bhikkhuni, male and female monastic practitioner, and went to Master Hui Nen for question. So based on their question and the course and condition, he gave a various answer and to their question.
第八呢，顿渐品，这一品呢主要在讲什么呢？法没有顿渐，但人呢有立顿，好，就是说法呢都是顿的，但是人的根器呢有立根跟顿根的差别，所以才会分成顿渐的修行方法。好，所以这一品里面就是这个六祖的弟子呢神慧呢，他去问六祖这个什么顿渐这个之别。还有呢，其中有一个叫做行仓次师哈，就是行仓呢，他就是有一个故事哦，就是他受人之托呢，他呢有人呢花十两银子，就是要请这个行仓呢去暗杀这个六祖慧能哈，那六祖慧能呢其实早就知道有人要来刺杀他哈。于是呢，就是有一天晚上，真的就有人哦到他疗房，要准备要刺杀他哦。然后这个故事的记载就是说，这个行仓呢，他在刀子呢在放在这个六祖慧能的脖子上呢砍了三下的时候呢，听说呢六祖都没有事哦，就是斜刀要砍正气就砍不下去哦。后来这个行仓哦非常的害怕，就是奇怪怎么可能砍了三刀都。没事哈，于是呢，当下呢，非常的忏悔哈，跟六祖慧能大师说，可不可以收他为徒弟哈？然后当时呢，六祖并没有收他为徒弟，只是呢，请他把这十两银子拿走，赶快逃，不然被他的弟子发现，他也是很麻烦哈。后来这个行仓呢，他就是回去以后呢。这起了很大的惭愧心哈，之后没多久呢，他就呢出家，然后非常精进的用功。之后呢， 他呢有一天想到六祖慧能对他说的这些话，他呢就是跋山涉水的再来找六祖慧能，然后这个两个人看到的时候呢，六祖慧能就跟他说，我已经等你很久了，你到现在才来。所以这个行仓已经是一个出家众了，非常的精进，所以这个顿渐第八品呢也有记录到这样一个故事，就是要杀六祖慧能呢没有成功，但是反而呢他呢渡了一个人出家，然后再回去六祖这个他的这个道场里面呢再跟他请法。
So chapter 8 talk about sudden and gradual. So and he mentioned in this chapter and the method, the practice method in there is no gradual and sudden. Only people's karmic roots has a sharp and dull. And so there's a story in there. This person and called Xing Chang, and somebody actually gave him some money and to ask him to kill Master Hui Neng. So he went to Master Hui Neng's sleeping quarter and used a knife and to cut Master Hui Neng's neck. And he tried three times. And there's no harm into Master Hui Neng's neck. He got actually very scared. So, and Master Hui Neng, and so at that time, Xing Chang gave a rise to a great humiliation and repent to Master Hui Neng and asked him, Master Hui Neng, to take him as a disciple. And Master Hui Neng considered his safety's sake and said, just say, go take the money and run away. So after Xing Chang ran away, and then later on he did become a monastic, and he practiced very diligently, and he thought about Master Hui Neng and the cause and condition to meet Master Hui Neng. He wanted to come back to Master Hui Neng to seek for a further teaching. So when he came back, and the first thing Master Hui Neng said to him, "You just came now. I have been waiting for you for a long time." So at that time, the whole story and it's recorded in this chapter, sudden and not gradual.
第九品呢，宣昭品哦，这一品呢，就是主要我们有提到，就是皇帝呢要这个请呢六祖慧能大师赴京城呢，为这些朝廷的臣子们说法，但是他婉拒了哦。那婉拒之后怎么办？这个薛简呢就是去请法，所以这个第九品里面呢就是主要是薛简呢跟六祖呢请法，请什么法？请禅宗的这个心要的法呢回奏皇帝。所以在这一品里面呢有很多的这个问答里面呢有提到对大圣的这个见解的这个看法。
Chapter 9, The Imperial Summon. That describes the request of the Imperial Court for Hui Neng to visit the Emperor, but Hui Neng declined of this command. So at that time, the Emperor was asking Hui Neng to go to the capital and to teach, to teach and spread Dharma. So Hui Neng declined. So, and this official called Xue Jian and come over and to Master Hui Neng to ask for teaching. So Master Hui Neng teach Mahayana's the method of Mahayana. So so he be able to report back to the emperor.
最后一品呢，第十品叫做富足品，就是呢六祖慧能呢在快要圆寂的前后呢，他就开始呢嘱咐一些他门下的弟子啊要做一些什么哈。好，那这一品里面呢就是有提到就是六祖慧能呢在圆寂前的一些对于法要的为弟子的解说齁。比如说有三科法门里面有提到齁，三科就是在讲五蕴、十二路、十八界齁。然后还有三十六对法，这三十六对法呢就是相对的齁，跟那个中道中论一样齁，就是有八部 八部中道有没有？不依不依，不来不去，有没有？这个就是跟六祖慧能讲这个三十六对法呢是一样，都是在讲中道的这个中观的这个道理。好，还有里面呢也有提到，就是说六祖慧能圆寂以后呢会发生的一些什么事情，所以呢等于说是在六祖慧能在跟他门下的人在预言说，以后呢如果我不在了会发生的一些什么事情。还有这一品很重要的一点，里面有提到，就是六祖慧能在圆寂以前呢又说了一个自信的真佛偈，就是又说了一段偈子，然后就是里面提到什么才叫真正的佛，就是如何做你才可以看到你自己真正的佛，就是自信的佛。好，还有不要随俗，还有也有提到，就是说他圆寂之后有很多人要争相要迎他的这个真身的舍利呢前往供奉，所以呢总共有三个地方在争相要迎他的这个真身舍利。结果有一个故事就里面有提到，就是这三个地方当这个争执不下的时候，结果呢他们做一个什么举动，然后来达到就是这个寺庙可以迎到他的真身。他们就是燃香，就点这个香，然后这个香的烟呢朝向哪一个地方，六祖的真身就往那个地方。好，结果你们猜，好，你们广州、新州还有这个潮州还有这个潮汐，你们猜是哪里？答案已经，我们刚刚答案在前面都有讲到，在南华寺嘛，对不对？好，所以呢这个香烟的这个烟呢，香炉上这个烟呢就朝向潮汐，所以呢这个争论就停止了，因为烟朝向这个潮汐，所以呢这个六祖的真身呢就迎往这个南华寺供奉。还有这个立碑啊，立碑就是有写一些这个六祖大师的生前呢就是利益众生的一些话，做成立碑让世人留念。
So the last chapter is the transmission, and that is the final instruction of Master Hui Neng. Hui Neng instruct his accomplished disciple, giving specific instruction how to preach the Dharma, and Fong showed the influence of the Buddha's teaching on the five skandhas, the concept of Yogacara teaching and the Madhyamika teaching. So this chapter is the final instruction from Master Hui Neng. In Madhyamika, and there's a lot of thing in talk about, it's not one, it's not different from one, it's not come and not go, and all these concepts, so he talk about in this chapter. And also, he foreseen, and after he passed away, and some monastery, and the three locations, Guangzhou, Xinzhou, and Chaoxi, they made fight for his body relic. And so in the chapter described, and so they're going to light up incense. And the way the smoke point to which direction, and that will be the monastery, and his body relic is going to be reside. So, of course, now we know and actually point to Chaoxi, and therefore his body relic and reside in Nanhua Monastery. And then talk about after a monastic pass away, and they're gonna set up a pagoda, and on the pagoda it is an inscription and talk about his teaching or his biography, and what is to put it on the pagoda for the inscription, and he also mentioned here.
那六祖坛经六祖的他的思想呢，到底想要告诉我们什么呢？我们呢接下来要让大家了解整个六祖坛经的思想呢在讲什么。
So what is the philosophy of the Platform Sutra?
这张图呢就是六祖的画像。好，我们知道呢慧能因为听 要去送财嘛，哈，然后听了这个客栈的客人诵《金刚经》而开悟，然后呢，就是前往这个黄梅去找他的师父，哈，就是五祖弘忍，得受心法之后呢，才能够主张了这个禅戒一致，然后揭示呢定慧不二，哈，还有他同时也倡导呢心转法华，强调呢当下呢就解脱，哈，你可以看到你的自信，你当下就可以解脱。然后而显现这个谭经的思想的主要特色，就是禅戒一致，定慧不二。
So when he hearing the recitation of a Diamond Sutra, Master Hui Nen was enlightened. And then he went to Huang Mei and to pay respect to the fifth patriarch and seek for further instruction for the teaching. So his philosophy emphasized on practicing Chan and upholding precept consistently. The unity of a meditation, Dhyana,wisdom prajna, and the samadhi of oneness. He advocate in the practice of a lotus sutra and from the mind and not merely from recitation. He also advocate the samadhi of oneness, and of concentration, attention, and at the present moment. And these reveals the main characteristic of a platform sutra.
我们用这个表格呢，让大家了解哦，就是更能够了解整个慧能的思想。等于说，这整个坛经呢，就是这五个要点哦。这五个要点呢，也是师父呢他修行所整合的五个要点。那六祖坛经呢，要告诉我们什么呢？第一个，要以般若为方法，所以六祖坛经的方法就是般若哦。然后他的目标是什么？就是用般若的这个修行方法呢。开发你自己的佛心，就是以如来藏为目标。那要怎么做？要用空观来破你所有的这个烦恼。那破完你这个烦恼，你才能够明心见性，乃至于见到自己的佛性。所以呢，六祖的坛经呢，它主要就是要告诉我们这五个要点。
So from this diagram, and we can see Hui Nen's philosophy.First of all, use prajna as a method. And this is also the practice of method and of a shifu. And so, first of all, use prajna as a method. And second, and tathagata is the goal. And to open up your own self nature. And use the view of emptiness to break the vexations. And then reach illuminating the mind and seeing the nature, and that is Buddha nature.
所以这五个要点就是整个六祖的思想。那我们刚刚有提到，禅戒一致呢，也是六祖慧能的一个主要的思想。那什么是禅戒一致？
So we mentioned it before, practice Chan uphold precept consistently is one of the main philosophy of Master Hui Nen. So what is actually practice Chan and uphold precept consistently?
Hui Nen 主张禅戒一致呢，就是以禅定为体，禅慧呢为用。那么他很主张就是自性的定慧。那当你有这个定慧，自信的定慧呢，你就拥有自信的这个戒在。所以当你成就了这个自信定慧，这个自信戒呢，一定是同时存在。所以这三个东西，戒定慧，一定是同时存在。所以六祖慧能告诉我们要怎么做，就心中的自信呢，常常要清净，然后这样子呢，你就能够开发你的智慧。所以呢，当你可以成就这样子的一个自信定慧的时候呢，你不持戒呢，戒呢就在其中。
So, what is the practice chant and uphold precept consistently? Meditation and wisdom are one essence. There's no difference. Meditation is the essence of wisdom. Wisdom is the function of meditation. At the time of wisdom, meditation exists in the wisdom. At the time of meditation,Wisdom exists in that meditation. So he believed in a self nature of meditation and wisdom. And then when that perfect and the self nature reveal. And therefore, the self nature of a precept exists. So if the mind is to be pure and that the self nature reveal and the precept exists and without upholding the precept.
所以呢，当你成就自性定慧呢，这个自性界呢一定就成就。所以当你的自性呢常常在清净的状态呢，你的界呢就常常在，所以不持界而界在其中。
So therefore, accomplishing the dhyana and wisdom of a self nature and the precept of the self nature exists.And you don't need to uphold the precept, and the precept is already in it.
好，所以举一个《六祖坛经》里面的一段话：“心平何劳持戒，心直何用禅修。”
So we use an example in the sixth Patriarch Platform Sutra. The mind made astray, why toy following rules? The practice pure, of what use is dhyana meditation?
所以什么叫持戒，什么叫禅修呢？就是当你的这个妄念心、贪嗔痴心不起呢，看见你自己的本性的时候呢，这个时候呢，你不用持戒呢，你的戒呢就在其中，这个就叫心戒，就持戒的最高原则就是心戒。那什么叫禅修呢？就是因为你持戒呢，让这个修行呢更为圆满，所以呢，戒里面呢，在佛教里面有分身、口、意三种戒呢。那以心戒，就是这个意念的这个戒呢，最难。所以当你的这个心呢，就是你的心的不起任何的这个一些分别啊作用的时候呢，你呢就可以成就这个自性的这个定慧。这个就是叫禅修，修禅。
So what is uphold precept?Upholding precept is not giving rise to greed, hatred, and ignorance. Then the self nature can be revealed. That is the precept of no precept, the precept of the mind. So what is practice chan? Upholding precept to perfect the right conduct. Precept are the precept of body, speech, and mind. The mind precept is the hardest to uphold.The most supreme way of upholding mind precept is no mind. Then meditation and wisdom attain naturally.
所以六祖慧能认为呢，人人呢自性本具戒定慧。
So therefore, Master 慧能 believe the self nature is originally replete with the sila, dhyana, and prajna, which is precept, concentration, and wisdom.
所以《坛经》里面有一句这样的话，心地无非自性戒，心地无痴自性慧，心地无乱呢自性定。
Therefore, in a Platform Sutra, there is such verses. Mind ground without wrong, self-nature, morality. Mind ground without delusion, self-nature, wisdom. Mind ground without confusion, self-nature, concentration.
那什么叫真戒、真定、真慧
？What is called the true precept, true dhyana, and true wisdom？
所以呢，真正的戒呢，就是你心地没有任何的过患是非啊，这就是真戒。真定的就是你的心没有散乱相，这个才叫真定。真慧呢，就是你的心里面没有任何的。痴愚痴呢，这就是真慧。
So the true precept is the mind ground without wrong. The true dhyana is the mind ground without confusion. The true wisdom is the mind ground without ignorance.
好，所以呢，这个传禅授戒呢，就是这个东山法门最主要的实践方法哦。东山法门就是五祖弘忍呢住的这个地方哦，就是他住在东山，所以他在这边传的方法呢就是叫东山法， 法门，那六祖传承的五祖的这个心药法门呢，所以继续的弘传下去。那当时呢，我们知道南北朝到隋唐非常盛行菩萨戒，所以呢，他们就是善用这个传戒的这个同时呢，也将禅法呢一起合并的传授，所以这个就是禅戒合一、禅戒一致的这个法门的方法的这个由来，就是菩萨戒跟禅修的禅法呢一起呢传授，这样子呢让这个禅法更为普遍，就是因为禅戒传禅授戒的一个主要的一个原因。
So, teaching Chan and transmit a preset, and that was the teaching for the Eastern Mountain Teaching. What is the East Mountain Teaching? That actually is means the teaching of the fifth patriarch Hongren, because at that time he lived in the East Mountain, so that's why people call his teaching as East Mountain Teaching. So East Mountain Teaching, it was emphasized on Chan teaching and precept transmission together, because during that time in Southern and Northern Dynasty and Shui and Tang Dynasty, and the Bodhisattva transmission was very popular. So, and therefore, and with that great opportunity, and the East Mountain teaching, and use the transmission of a Bodhisattva, and also transmit Chan and teach Chan, the unification of a Chan practice with acceptance of the Buddha's precept, and together, and that even made a Chan more generalized, more popular.
所以呢，以菩萨戒呢融入禅法呢，就是当时东山法门的一个主要的一个特色，那也是慧能思想的主要特色之一，就是禅戒一致。
And so therefore, transmit teaching Chan and then transmit Bodhisattva precept together, and that is one of the special characteristic of East Mountain teaching.
Thank you.
Thank you.
我们今天就讲到这边，好，我们接着准备要用五斋。